If you've ever seen a musical, you know that sometimes they'll sing a song, like for instance, one of my favorites, which is Tonight from West Side Story. And then later in the show, they'll sing that same song, but kind of updated.
The Jets are gonna have their day tonight. Luchamos para ser la ley tonight. The Puerto Ricans grumble.
Well, that updated version is called a reprise. It's bringing back something good and updating it. And that's what this week's show is all about. In fact, today we're re-airing this episode because a few of the artists that we featured have gone on to have very big years. And we begin with one of Broadway's most transformative stars, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Since his show Hamilton made its Broadway debut last year, Lin-Manuel has been named a MacArthur Genius, he won a Pulitzer Prize for Drama, and he was featured on the cover of Time magazine as one of their 100 most influential people. In 2008, he starred in and composed his first Broadway hit, In the Heights. It won 4 Tonys, including Best Musical. In the Heights tells the story of a Dominican bodega owner in New York City. And it was around that time that Lin-Manuel was invited to perform at the White House Poetry Jam.
I'm thrilled the White House called me tonight.
And he decided to test some new material.
Because I'm actually working on a hip-hop album. It's a concept album about the life of someone I think embodies hip-hop, Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton. You laugh, but it's true. He was born a penniless orphan in St. Croix of illegitimate birth, became George Washington's right-hand man, became Treasury Secretary, caught beef with every other founding father, and all on the strength of his writing.
And hip-hop Hamilton hit the stage.
Well, the word got around. They said, this kid is insane, man. Took up a collection just to send him to the mainland. Get your education. Don't forget from whence you came. And the world is going to know your name. What's your name, man? Alexander Hamilton. His name is Alexander Hamilton. And there's a million things he hasn't done. But just you wait. Just you wait. Was 10, his father split full of it.
Lin-Manuel turned this rap narrative into the now famous hip-hop musical Hamilton, based on a biography by Ron Chernow. The show has become a phenomenon. It was just nominated for a record-breaking 16 Tony Awards. Last year, just before the show moved to Broadway, I met up with Lin-Manuel at the Morris Jumel Mansion, where he spent much of his time writing Hamilton in his favorite neighborhood, Washington Heights.
Hello.
Vice President Aaron Burr, the man who killed Alexander Hamilton in a duel, used to live at the Jumel Mansion. And Lin-Manuel actually wrote parts of Hamilton in Aaron Burr's former bedroom.
Oh my God. And like we're behind the glass wall, the little red velvet line that keeps you out from any place when you visit a museum, and we're on the inside.
Yeah. So this is Aaron Burr's bedroom for the year he lived here. I have a little 2-octave MIDI keyboard, and I have my computer, and I sit here, and I have a little desk and just write.
So you were sitting on that chair, or you brought a different chair? You were sitting on that chair.
Yeah, you can say it.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I was sitting in that chair. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but yeah, I was sitting in that chair.
Can you tell me the story of how that happened? How you got invited to come and write here?
I did the performance at the White House in 2009, when I'd really only written that song, and sort of showed it undercooked. I joke that, like, I showed everyone an ultrasound at a month. But, you know, the White House calls, and you have a song about one of the founding fathers in your pocket, like, that's a sign. That's not, you know, I'm not going to do a song from In the Heights if that moment presents itself. I'm going to do the thing I have that is relevant. And so I performed that song, and then through sheer good luck, that thing went viral. That had been circulating around, and they said, hey, if you ever want to write, like, in Aaron Burr's bedroom. And just like the White House called, hey, do you have anything on the American Experience? I went, signs and portents, signs and portents. And I said, yes.
did something happen when you got here where it then...
Did Aaron Burr jump into my body Whoopi Goldberg style and ghost? No, it did not.
Oh,
but,
too bad.
Too bad. I wish. I've always loved this house. I think it's sort of amazing that we have this block in the middle of Washington Heights that is a cobblestone street, and you can just travel to the, you know, 18th century. One of the joys of writing this is learning... It's just as much a New York story as In the Heights was. It's just a few layers of dirt below.
What does it feel like to be the son of Puerto Ricans who is now completely identifying with the founding fathers and this two layers down?
First of all, it's a strength of Ron Chernow's writing because he made me see that. I knew the rough outlines of Hamilton's story. I wrote a paper on the duel in 10th grade, probably. And all I knew was that he had a son who died in a duel, and then he died in a duel 3 years later. I grabbed that book at random off a shelf. I just wanted a biography to read on the beach. I like reading biographies. And so I said, if nothing else, this is a good ending. You know, I knew he went out with a bang.
Was there anything for you at all, the moment, and maybe it was back when you were in 10th grade, when you realized that Alexander Hamilton actually was an immigrant to this country, someone who is considered our founding father?
I didn't know that until I read Ron's book. A lot of people don't know that.
When you realized that, what, and particularly from him being from the islands, as you're in your own family,
yeah,
does your brain just go pablam, or do you just put the book down and, do you remember?
It went pablam, and that doesn't often happen. One, because I've never said that word, you just invented it. but two, because it's such a part of the hip-hop narrative. Like, basically, the first two chapters of Hamilton's life, you could hear on anyone's hip-hop album. You know, a lot of the rappers we love, the narrative they talk about is having a very tough home life, having to sell drugs or be in the drug trade in some form and use that money to get out of their neighborhood. And that's exactly what Hamilton did. Just trade, trading company for drug running. It's the same story. And then he had a verbal ability and it got him out.
Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right, I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive and it's all.
What's fun for me in the show is I live at the center of this very strange Venn diagram that encapsulates history, hip hop, and musical theater. And I'm packing as much of all three of those things into the show as my brain can allow, and as your brain will allow as an audience member. And what's fun is watching certain moments detonate and register with people who live in any one of those Venn diagrams. So there are hip hop references, there are Biggie references, there are Rodgers and Hammerstein references, there are lots of musical theater references. And then you get the history, who catch the nod to Sally Hemings and Jefferson's Song. We catch the nerds who laugh at that. And so what's fun for me are those moments where everyone blows up.
You have forever changed how I see the Founding Fathers. When you think about the weight that that means, that you are actually changing people's image of something as core Americana as the Founding Fathers. Is that the ka-ching moment? Are you, or?
I don't know that that's how I think of it exactly. What I did endeavor to do is make the Founding Fathers as human as possible, because it's a very human story. And I think we need to be reminded constantly that the people who created our country were human, and they had faults, and they had disagreements, and that our Constitution did not come down on a stone tablet from a mountaintop. It was the result of a lot of people with a lot of really different opinions and agendas compromising through, again, Ron's great biography of Washington. Suddenly I get Washington. Suddenly Washington's not just a stone-faced white dude. He's a guy who bears the burden of history at a really young age and is terrified of what his legacy will be.
Do you at all think of yourself as a Latino leader in that space in your head?
Reluctantly. No, I think of myself as a writer and a performer. And, but that being said, I'm very aware of the Latinos who who kicked a door open for us, of the Rita Morenos and the Raul Julias and the, you know, the people who were the only faces like mine on screen and on stage, you know, when you want to see yourself represented. So I am aware of that responsibility, but responsibility is the death of fun when you're writing. And when I'm writing, I'm just trying to tell the story as compellingly as possible.
Does it mean, I mean, of course, your dad, he ended up becoming a major political figure in the city of New York. One of the first most influential Latinos. He was not elected. He was behind the scenes working with the Koch administration, which is when I met him. So how much do you think about the ramifications of being now another generation of Latino who is doing politics in a very different way than your dad?
Yeah, I'm pretty allergic to politics in the nuts and bolts sense of it. There was a really lovely moment that happened. My dad told me about this. My dad said we were doing one of the run-throughs of the show, of Hamilton, and there's a song called The Room Where It Happens. And it's a song about the compromise that Hamilton got into with Madison and Jefferson, where basically, in exchange for Congress passing his financial plan, the capital of the United States moved from New York to where it now is in Washington, D.C. And this happened over dinner. Jeffrey Seller, our producer, turned to my dad and said, "Only your son could have written this song." Just like, you know, if you're a butcher's son, you grow up around meat. I grew up around politics. You know, the fact that in Hamilton, our cast looks like America looks like now, I think only enhances the immediacy of the story. It just makes sense from a storytelling perspective for us. But it does, for some people, have this political overtone to it. Like, oh my gosh, this is what our country looks like now. And it will strike joy into the hearts of some and panic into the hearts of others. But there it is. It's a reality.
Shot. I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. And I'm not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. And I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry.
Just a few short months before his show would open on Broadway, we were in a cab going from Washington Heights to Harlem to check out a statue of the Marquis de Lafayette and George Washington.
What's amazing about Harlem, and one of my favorite things about living there, and this is going to sound crazy, it probably should not be on the radio, but I think about what would happen if the statues in Harlem came to life Night at the Museum style at night. And you have Harriet Tubman next to Lafayette, who is also very anti-slavery. You have Frederick Douglass over at the entrance to the park on 110th Street. And I picture them all getting up and kind of awkwardly looking at Washington being like, hey, sup? And Washington be like, I set you free after I died. Not good enough.
So tell us a little bit about Lafayette.
That guy grew up, he's basically French royalty. I mean, he was a marquis, but he was so impassioned by the news of a revolution. Washington and Lafayette very much had a father-son relationship and, you know, really became very close. So I think it's fitting that we're going to go see a statue of the two of them together because they would have been seen together.
And there's together actually... They're together in this statue?
Yeah.
In this statue, they're together?
But have you ever looked up at the statue across from your own house?
Well,
it's him shaking hands with Washington.
Oh, my God. Okay. Right here. Right here. Yeah, thank you. Okay, no. So tell me, so, all right, I feel terrible because I always look at the back of it. Yeah. What are we seeing, Lin-Manuel?
We are seeing Lafayette Square, which I didn't know existed until I lived here.
Okay, so what? Now, when I see this, okay, and maybe that's why I didn't come and spend a lot of time here, because I would look at this and I'd be like, I don't know, these two older white guys, really huge, standing here, looking very tough-ish. I don't know if I really, you know.
Yeah.
So now...
But it's interesting. It gains something when you know their relationship, when you know how close they were, that really Washington treated Lafayette like a long-lost son, and Washington never had kids. The regard with which Lafayette is looking at Washington
it's kind of awesome. It's kind of touching. Mm. You know, this is not the way, you know, most of these guys, when you see them, they're standing in profile or, you know, look at the way Lafayette's leaning into Washington. I mean, the whole thing, the sweep of it.
You're right. I'd never seen it before.
It's really beautiful.
And there is a tenderness in George Washington's eyes, actually.
Yeah.
Describe the Lafayette that you see here.
What does he look like? Well, he looks young. I mean, he looks younger than most of these statues usually look of this era.
He's got the curly Q hair.
He's got the curly Q hair. He's got the ponytail down the back. Yeah, the payas.
Right. Now, describe your Lafayette.
My Lafayette looks like famous rapper David Diggs. but, you know, not dissimilar. Actually, the costumes are exactly the same. I do look at, now having been in the show, I have sympathy towards their boots, which are a tough hang, I can tell you, especially, I mean, they didn't have to dance in them. I have to dance in them. I have sympathy for the swords clattering on their sides, which we have to, you know, contend with while we're dancing around during the Battle of Yorktown.
I should look at the statue, and the message should be love between, you know, a father figure and a potential son. It should be, you know, the founding fathers who helped us get to this point. It should be patriotism. Yeah. It should be.
It's also the father of our country shaking the hand of an immigrant that helped win this country.
Headed for a new land in New York. You can be a new man. The ship is in the harbor now. See if you can spot him. Another immigrant coming up from the bottom. His enemies destroyed his rep. America forgot him. And me, I'm the damn fool that shot him. Alexander Hamilton, we were waiting in the weeds for you. You could never back down. You always had to speak your mind. But Alexander Hamilton.
That was Lin-Manuel Miranda. His show Hamilton is on Broadway now and will be opening next in Chicago.
We will try to destroy you.